Scripture reading this afternoon comes from Romans 13, verses 8 through 10. Romans 18, 8 through 10. Romans 13, 8 through 10. Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandments are all summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law.
Let's take a moment this afternoon in a rather maybe shorter sermon to look at some of the scriptures here and what Brother Ray just read as far as love being the fulfillment of God's law. Obviously, God's laws are not meaningless. They're not something that God just says to do for no reason. And they're not to do just because of the only reason being eternal life. God has a meaning behind it, and that meaning is love. God is love. God tries to extend that love that He teaches towards mankind, that we may extend it towards one another, that we may extend it first back to God. But love, really in totality, is the fulfillment of the laws of God. And in verse 10, one could see it maybe as far as it only being the old law here, but certainly I don't think that's fitting. And certainly love would be the fulfillment of not just the old law, but all the laws of God that have ever been. Not that we would follow the old law, but love is the fulfillment of all the laws that have ever been in every dispensation of time. And so that would be the purpose of the laws of God, yes, to keep us from sin and to teach us to do righteousness. But along with doing righteousness comes love. And what kind of love? Not the one the world teaches, the one that God teaches, even in that passage there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The fulfillment of the law, or the fulfilling of it, is love. God, even as He judges, even as He brings forth justice, and as He will on that judgment day, as after all all of us die, Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed that time for judgment. And whenever God even chooses to send the Son back a second time, and we'll all be judged according to the things that we've done in the body. Well, God still loves all mankind. He always will. He never loves the sins that we choose to do. But God, out of everything He's ever done, He's always wanted a closeness with mankind. He's always wanted for mankind to love Him back. The laws of God truly support and teach the concept of true godly love. The complete opposite of whacking someone in the face. The complete opposite of beating someone up, taking their lunch money back in school. The complete opposite of robbing a bank. God supports love, loving one another. Doing things for one another, serving one another, as Jesus even washed the feet of His disciples. God supports that four-letter word, love, that we know. Rather than owing one another in debts, rather than owing one another with a hook or something, or anything else, let us love one another as Christian brethren, love our fellow man as well, not being like the Pharisees, and maybe puffing ourselves up more because we're children of God, but rather loving everyone with an unconditional love that God loves with, and Jesus Christ loved with even on the cross, and still does today. Love with that law of Christ and by that law of Christ. Understand that there is victory in that love. There's justice in that love. All that God's law encompasses is really to show that teaching of love. And yes, to bring us further from sin, which also comes with love. So love one another, and in doing so fulfill the law of Jesus Christ. Looking at that first verse there, reviewing the Ten Commandments in the second verse, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Where do we get these? One of the passages in Acts is in Exodus chapter 20 and verses 1 through 17. But that was God teaching even back then and showing mankind ultimately the concept of love, of loving one another rather than stealing from each other, rather than fornicating, stealing somebody's wife, stealing somebody's husband, rather than trying to push ourselves on somebody else's husband or wife, God teaches these concepts of love, considering one another, valuing people, rather than doing those nasty things. So God certainly teaches us to love our fellow man, even in the Old Testament as He does in the New Testament. All those don'ts that are in the Ten Commandments, they teach to love thy neighbor, not to do against thy neighbor. God even preserved the Old Testament, and Jesus many times mentions things of the Old Testament, and even obviously this epistle mentions it, to help us understand by looking at example and command that were given to the generations before us even, that they were under a different law of God, under a different dispensation of time, but they were still taught this concept of love. All the instructions given to old Israel, the cohesiveness. Think about this for a moment. Everything that they did, the cohesiveness of the tribes, the worship, all of it was to teach greater closeness, was to teach love, was to teach the opposite of sin and doing things against each other and hating each other, doing everything opposite to what godly love would be, to what Christ-like love would be. But God teaches that beautiful, beautiful love to human beings, that all human beings are valuable in the eyes of God and should value each other and should love each other as God even loves us. Jesus died for everyone on that cross, not just for the people who are already Christians. And therefore, let us be likewise loving to our fellow man and to each other's brethren. And so, none of that disregards God's justice again, His righteousness, His law, that as far as love. But we know from the Scriptures that God doesn't enjoy even punishing His creation. If you go to Romans chapter 5, and there in verse 6, Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, if you'd read that with me. Five and verse 6 says there, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." So Jesus, everything He did in His ministry, everything He did in teaching His disciples, His apostles, whether it be washing the feet of one another, whether it be teaching the laws, whether it be teaching even communion, whether it be teaching how to sing, whether it be teaching how to pray, everything that Jesus Christ did, even in His ministry, whenever He's teaching those apostles next to Him and looking at the poor man, looking at the lame, the blind, the people who are in need, and showing love to them, even though they may not have been righteous at that time, Jesus still showed the love. We should likewise do the same. We should love our fellow man, love our brethren in the same way. So again, that doesn't disregard God's justice and righteousness, but they all go together. That's love with it all, for God is a God of love. Look at what Jesus did for us, what was done out of love, how Jesus forgave His enemies on the cross again. The fact that our God is patient with us and even forgives us our sins shows us the love of our God. You can look all across the New Testament and you will find the consummation of a four-letter word called love. And not the world's idea again, but God's idea of love. So shouldn't we as children understand that we serve a loving God, that we're His emissaries, and also showing that same love and teaching it towards our fellow man, understanding, as in verse 10 of Romans there, chapter 13, love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. And continuing on there, verse 11, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep." This is Romans 13. "For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust." We're not animals, brethren. That lion out in the field, eating that gazelle, whatever example or illustration you want to come up with, we're not an animal. We're intelligent beings. God made us in His image there in Genesis. All of us are expected, God expects more of us than He does an animal eating on some other animal out in the field. We're not animals. We're beings made in the image of God who are important and valuable in the eyes of God. And He expects us to live according to the way and will of how Jesus Christ lived. And that's, again, up to us whether we do that and whether we choose to love our neighbors, as ourselves even. But God still commands it even so, and it's expected of us to get to that reward that we talked about last week in Revelation, to heaven. And so let us love one another as Jesus commanded and exampled in the gospel accounts, as the apostles, the disciples, they are showed even in the epistles, as ultimately the Holy Spirit, as they're in Revelation. Love was really shown to be the thing that gains victory, the things that gains a man who's worked for Jesus Christ all of his life, who's worked for God all of his life, victory. If you look in Hebrews chapter 11, the things that those people did for God, it was accounted of them for righteousness. Those loving things those people did. Whenever Jacob and Esau met there, Jacob could have taken a knife and stuck it in Esau's side. He could have taken a knife, stuck it across his throat. Did he do it? No, he didn't. He rather chose to love him. And you saw love from both of those individuals back in that time in Genesis. And there's many other occasions. You could have seen Peter with Ananias and Sapphira, perhaps already knowing what was happening with those two. He could have taken a knife. He could have stuck it in that side. But he rather gave the judgment to God. And he let God do that, take their life if he wanted to take their life, because God gave their life. You could use many other examples across Scripture. You can use examples like Daniel. He could have lost his mind on everybody who was attacking him, especially on those men who tried to bring a conspiracy against him and got him thrown in a lion's den. But rather, Daniel chose to love. Daniel chose to show that beautiful concept of godly love to men who really didn't understand it quite yet. And all of us, as children of God, are that type of emissary to the world, or that type of messenger, example to the world of God's love. It's very easy at times to lose our temper. It's very easy at times to get frustrated with the things that happen in our life. But remember, as we follow Jesus Christ's law, we're also following His behaviors. Love is a fulfillment of that law. But let us remember that always as children of God. And Jesus Christ expects more of us. He expects us to live like Him. He expects us to act like Him. And then, of course, all throughout the New Testament, you can read, as in Romans chapter 15 and verse 1, "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me." Everything that we do should be for the benefit of even others. We should care about others. We should value others. Well, first of all, valuing God, being the things that we do for God, yes. But the point is that we should love our fellow man. We should love each other. We should not leave people in the gutter. We should go attend to that lame, to that blind man. Help them if they're in need. Be different. Gear your mind to be spiritual as Jesus was, as Jesus' mind was. And be likewise minded together under the law of Christ for the purpose of love, to extend it to our fellow man. And so that's the lesson for this afternoon. If there's anyone among us who has any need, if you have a prayer that you might need to give today as far as those who might be sick or in need in some way, please do let us attend to that with you. If you have a sin in your life, you need to get rid of it. You need to repent of that sin. Let us help you today with that as we're about to come, ask you to come to the front and stand and sing. But please also, if you're not a Christian, consider becoming one. But choose to put your faith in Jesus Christ and act upon it. But choose to become a Christian. Believe Jesus is the Christ, repent of your sins, confess He's the Christ before men, and to be baptized into water for remission of your sins to be added to the kingdom of God. If you do this, you will be out of the church forever. You'll be eternally saved by God. And as you choose to sin, you can have forgiveness if you sin in your life. You can have forgiveness. You can come back to Christ. You can have fellowship with Him. You can walk in the light. It's not over if you mess up again. Did you think when you were baptized you'd never mess up again? Well, you're wrong. And I was wrong to think that. But brethren, we can live again with God if we try our best, if we strive to be like Christ. Let us all do that. And if you're not already a Christian, again, those watching online, I know most of you are Christians, please consider becoming one and look at the reliability and the evidence that Jesus Christ offers of eyewitness testimony that He is truly the Messiah, that He is truly the one that we can believe in to be even God. Believe in Jesus. Don't believe in these men who bring up these fables. Believe in all these eyewitness testimonies from the Bible attributing to one person across all of them, the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, Emmanuel. If you're ready to make that commitment to Jesus Christ today, if you're ready to do those things, even to become a Christian, or if you have any other need, come to the front as we stand and sing to our God together.
If you get